Good morning, church. Ooh, I say good morning, church. Good morning. Happy Palm Sunday. Amen. So good morning and welcome to Taylor's Tabernacle Live. Welcome to the Taylor's family and all our friends joining through Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, PA, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is the pastor. Amen. Let's give it up for our pastor this morning. We appreciate him. Amen. So I'm going to ask that you guys please stand as we look to the Lord. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, Lord Jesus. We thank you for another Sunday that you have brought us, Lord Jesus. We thank you for today, Palm Sunday, Lord Jesus, as it represents the beginning of your journey to the cross, Lord Jesus. We thank you for what you did for us at the cross, Lord Jesus. We thank you for dying for us, Lord Jesus. We thank you for bridging that gap, Lord Jesus, so that we can have entry to eternal life, Lord Jesus. We do not take for granted for what you have done for us, Lord Jesus, as you showed us the love that you have for us, Lord Jesus. So when we get down, Lord Jesus, when we get depressed, Lord Jesus, we ask that we look to you and remember what you did for us, Lord Jesus. As you came down from heaven to be human, Lord Jesus, you know what it feels like to be us, Lord Jesus. So let us continue to remember what you did for us, Lord Jesus. And as they lay the palms at your feet, Lord Jesus, we lie down in and everything that's not like you, Lord Jesus. We lie down anger, Lord Jesus. We lie down depression, Lord Jesus. We lie down selfishness, Lord Jesus. We ask that you continue to build us, Lord Jesus, to help us be believers, Lord Jesus, to help us go out and win souls, Lord Jesus. We ask that you bless our pastor today, Lord Jesus. We ask that you give him a word for us, Lord Jesus, that it will change us and we will go out better, Lord Jesus, better into this world, Lord Jesus, bringing in people. Lord, we ask that you give everybody traveling mercies here to this sanctuary, Lord Jesus, and traveling mercies for when we leave this place, Lord Jesus. And finally, Lord Jesus, we welcome your presence, Lord Jesus. Come into here today. Tell us what we need to hear from you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Then we're going to go to our scriptures. Today we'll be coming from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 and 17. You guys look good today. It's good to see everybody. All righty. Second Timothy 10, verse 10 through 17. Say amen if you have it. Oh, y'all not saying amen. 3, verse 10 through 17. Amen. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch. Coming at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ. Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good word. Amen. That's good word. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. Amen. You may be seated, maybe. We're going to have a sermonic selection from our sister Leah Reed. Amen.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hallelujah. As we, that word that is there to equip us, that we got to stay faithful to, because we know what the Lord has done for us. And so we're going to sing this song together. Lord, I lift your name on high, because we know what he did. He came from heaven to earth to show us the way, and he has shown us the way. Hallelujah. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. And I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Lord, I lift, Lord, I lift your name on high. And Lord, I love. Oh, I'm so glad, glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came, glad you came to save us. Oh, you came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my death you paid, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. And Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad you came. Oh, Lord, I lift. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, I love. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad. I'm so glad you came. Oh, you came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt you paid, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt you paid, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right.
of St. Luke. Gabe said, Pastor, next time just turn it on. That might help you. Thank God for Gabe. Amen. If you have your Bible, we're going to jump to the Word of God, Luke 17. We're going to pick up at verse 11. I told you all this month, I'm just preaching out of Luke 17. We're going to add to the witness Psalms 100. Amen. Luke 17. We're going to begin at verse 11 and Psalms 100. I invite you to turn there with me. Amen. If you have it. Okay. Amen. If you don't have it. So look, if you're there, now remember, last Sunday, I started at 17 and 1, and we worked those first 10 verses, right? And what I laid out for everyone is that Luke 17, I love it because it talks about our duty and our responsibility, okay? And so I'm going to be following that theme all month, right? Because I'm going to stay in Luke 17, okay? You with me? It says, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Okay. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Okay. They lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were healed. Are you with me? And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet and giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? You with me? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said, it's 19, I'm going to stop it here. He said, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Right? Here, let's go to Psalm 100. I really only want verse 4, but I'm gonna read the whole thing because Psalms 100 is one of my favorite psalms. It's one of my favorite psalms and one of the earliest psalms that as a young person they made us commit to memory. Right? You guys learning your Bible verses for the fourth Sunday? Man, I got no response. I guess I know the answer to that. Remember, we have a memory verse every month, right? And every month, someone either from our adult church or from our children's church, our YLE, should be coming up and reciting that verse from memory. Here it is, Psalms 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Right? Thank you, Sister Leah. Know that the Lord, he is God. Right? It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. Isn't that good advice, especially in contemporary times, right? So many of us believe that we are God. We do what we want, when we want, with whoever we want. You know what? Why? Because we feel that we are God. All you got to do is read Psalm 1. See, it tells you, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Here it is. This is the one I want right here, because this is the sermon. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Why? For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Let the people of God say amen. Father, consecrate Your word to our heart. We have come for no other purpose but to ask of You, is there any word from the Lord? And Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness, because I believe through Your manservant You have sent Your word, even as You sent Your Son to be the salvation for our sins. So we thank You in advance for what You're about to do, and all of God's people everywhere say amen. You may be seated all over the church. Now, guys, hold on. Lee and Joe, before you go, I'm giving the best part of the sermon right up front. Just give me 60. I'm not even waiting till I'm coming right out the box. You ready? So my sermon is called, now I'm continuing the duty series, It's Your Duty to Be Thankful, right? Last Sunday we worked on what? It's your duty to be what? It's your duty what? To forgive. This Sunday, it's your duty to be thankful, right? Now, I want to teach you how to say thank you in different languages. English, thank you. Spanish, gracias. French, merci. Y'all like that. I see. All right. There you go. German, danke. Right? Italian, grazie. Right? Japanese, arigato. Arigato. Special thanks to Jordan and John Mitchell. They helped me out with that. And to our Hebrew friends who are watching, who yesterday celebrated Passover, having a Seder meal with their family and friends, todo raba. You got it? Right up front. I didn't know. Right, boom. You have now learned how to say thank you. And that's like 7 or 8 languages. All right, y'all go on. Tell your mom I said hey. That's right up front. Todo raba, arigato, grazie, danke, merci, gracias, thank you. I would have added some more, but I ran out of time. Before we get into it, I'm going to give you 2 points right up front. Point one, saying thank you is not intuitive. It must be taught and it must be learned. All right? Are you with me on that? Say it again. Saying thank you is not intuitive. Right? It must be taught and it must be learned. Okay? That's why growing up, our mothers, our grandmothers, our aunts always said what? As soon as someone gave you a piece of candy, they said what? Say thank you. Why? They were teaching us to say thank you. right? Point two, saying thank you is not the same as being thankful. Are you with me on that? Right? If you say amen more, you'll warm up faster. I'm trying to help you out. Saying thank you is not the same as, because why? You can teach someone to say thank you, but in their heart, they're really not thankful. They're just saying it because you told them to say it, right? And they want to keep the candy that's now in their mouth. So they say thank you, all right? Good, so you got that. Now let me add this duty just to pick it up, same thing from last Sunday. When we say duty, to make sure we're on the same page and all working from the same definition, that word duty is, it means a moral or legal obligation, right? A moral or legal obligation, right? What you and I would refer to as a responsibility, right? Look at somebody and say, it's not optional. When something is your duty, your responsibility, it's not optional. You have to do that. Are you with me? That word duty also means it is a task or action that someone is required to perform. Again, not optional. Are you with me? Okay, good. Let's get into the Word of God. Verse 11, it says, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Okay? And then he entered a certain village, and there met him 10 men who were lepers. Right? And as a result of being lepers, they stood afar off. Right? Because they were lepers. Right? And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Right? These men were ceremonially defiled and considered unclean. And as a result, they were forced to live outside of the village. Okay? This is Jewish history, Jewish tradition, Jewish religion, right? And just as a reference, I don't have time to run it down, but Leviticus chapter 13, verse 46, Numbers 5 and 2, right? References for how the Jewish people conducted themselves concerning those among them who were lepers, right? They had to live outside of the village, right? And they were forbidden to intermingle with the people, right? For fear of what? Spreading the leprosy. So you had to isolate, had to quarantine, right? We know about quarantine now, though, right? What we all been through, hey, you got to stay. Don't send your child to school. I never heard that before in my life. It was always send your child to school. We went to school sick. We went to the school with the flu. We went to the school with broken legs. I mean, you went to school, but now they don't send them to school. So look, they're lepers. So this verse makes sense when it says they stood afar off. They stood afar off because their leprosy forced them into isolation, right? Now I can't go into the city. I can't intermingle in the crowd. I can't go in and go to Walmart. Right? I can't go in and go to Target, right? Like everybody else on farm. I gotta stay outside because a condition that I have is forcing me into isolation. Are you with me? You may not realize, but I'm preaching already. Are you, right? And so, because they cannot fellowship, they stand afar off and they have to yell to Jesus. Because they can't come up to him and say, hey, Jesus, hey, when you get a chance, could you pray for me? They can't do that because they can't get close to him. So they got to stand off, right? And so all of them, they got the same condition. They lift up their voice. He tells you what it is. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Are you with me? They didn't have a spokesman. Well, you speak for us. You got the loudest. What you called, no. All 10 of them lifted up their voice, shouted to Jesus to have mercy on the whole group. Right? That's what they said. And so they got a shout to get Jesus' attention. So here we are. Verse 4. And it says, so when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. Right? And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, first, it's an interesting response. When we understand the condition of the lepers and how they were treated in Jewish society and Jewish tradition and Jewish religion, we understand that the only way they could ever be permitted back into the community is that the priest had to declare they were clean. They had to physically go show themselves to the priest, right? Look at my heart. Look. I don't have it anymore. And the priest would declare you're clean, right? Once the priest declared them clean, they could what? They could re-enter the community, right? They could hang out. They could go to family dinners. They could go to a Palm Sunday dinner, right? Why? Because they were considered clean now, right? So I get it. Go show yourself to the priest. But the what makes it strange is that they were still lepers, right? To me, my mind, the way I think, the way I like to preach, it would have made sense for Jesus to heal them first, then say, go show yourself. I could preach this better if Jesus would have said, be healed. And then said, now go show yourself. I could preach that. I could, matter of fact, you could preach that. Any preachers? No takers this Sunday, right? But Jesus doesn't heal them, right? Doesn't do a sign, doesn't do a miracle. He simply tells them to go show yourself to the priest, right? And the text says that as they went, they were healed. As their healing was sudden and immediately visible. But it only occurred after they obeyed the command of Jesus. Are you with me? Go show yourself to them. And as they went, they were healed. They were only healed after they obeyed. Could it be that your healing is being delayed because you won't obey? I wish I had a real church. My real church would get behind me. They wouldn't care whether it's cold or not. Could it be that you're remaining isolated, you're remaining segregated, you're outside of the camp. You want to be blessed like everyone else. You want to be going in like everyone else, but you can't. And could it be your own disobedience is hindering your healing? All right? Here it is, verse 15. I'm going to keep going. It says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet and gave him thanks. And that guy was a Samaritan. Here it is. The other nine, who obviously were eager to be declared clean so they could return to normal life in society, evidently continued forward to the priest, forgetting to give thanks. They wanted their healing more than their desire to give God praise. Right? And we know it. Why? Because of their what? Their actions. The one guy stopped. The other nine, and I'm sure they looked at their hands while they were running too, right? They looked at their, and they, oh man, we're healed. And they started running faster. Why? They wanted to show themselves to the priest. Why? So they could get back to living the way they wanted to. This is my get out of jail free card. This is it. I'm on my way. Nine, but one said, wait, I've been healed, right? And if you get this, this is the sermon right here. Verse 15 said what? He returned. Look what I put in my notes. When I saw that return, this is what came into my mind. Repentance, right? Do you remember what Pastor Powell told us a couple Sundays ago? She said, forgiveness is great, but it's no direction. So you can forgive or be forgiven, but you keep walking around the same temptation. You keep looking at it and leaning over and smelling it and all. But when you repent, she says what? Repentance requires what? A change of direction. That means you move in the opposite way. No, you're not getting me with that. Why? Because I repented of that. I'm turning my back, and now I'm moving in the, oh, my God. Look at somebody tell me, you got to repent of that. You got to start going in the opposite. This one guy realizing what had happened to him, right? Repents and turns in the opposite direction and starts moving towards Jesus. Are you with me? Now, not only does he go toward Jesus, this is my part of the sermon. He said, not only does he return, but he says with a loud voice, right? He begins to glorify God. He was so thankful for what the Lord had done for him. He didn't care who knew about his situation, right? Living in isolation, away from the community, after a while, folks forget about you. Forget about what you did. Forget about where you live. Forget about how you are. Why? Because you're not around anymore. Your condition has isolated you, right? And if anybody remembers anything, they're going to remember that what? You're a leper. But when this guy gets healed, he goes back to Jesus and with a loud voice, right? He begins to glorify God. Right? He was not ashamed to give God glory for what the Lord had done. Right? Are there any of us who are ashamed? Oh, God, help me. Somebody help me, Holy Ghost. Right? Right? We want to be blessed in church, but outside of church, are we still willing to give God the glory on our jobs, in our homes, in our neighborhoods? I will lift my voice like a trumpet. Oh, God, help me. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm not ashamed Yeah, I'm not ashamed of what God done for me. I'm not ashamed about where he brought me from. I was a leper. They're not lying about me. I was that. I did do that. But thanks be unto God. That's why I'm not ashamed. Here it is. So he falls down on his face and he gives him thanks. And Luke reminds us that he was a Samaritan. Ten guys. Nine keep going. One comes back. And the one who comes back is a Samaritan. The woman at the well said, "Why are you asking me for water? You're Jewish. I'm Samaritan. We don't get along. We don't speak to each other. It's been that way for years." He was the least likely of the 10 to come back to Jesus. But yet, he was what? The only one. Are you with me? He said he was a Samaritan. Jesus sending the lepers to the priest suggests that they were Jewish. This Samaritan, however, had been permitted to associate with these other Jewish lepers when they were all considered ceremonially unclean. Right? How many know misery loves company? When you down, there's no racism when you're down. There's no sexism when you broke. But I mean, we all in it together at that point. It don't matter. Why? Because we're all down. We're all sick. We're all isolated. Right? And misery loves company. Right? And so you would have thought that it would have been the Samaritan, right, who didn't even worship in the temple, would have bypassed the priest, but it was the Samaritan who was most grateful. Are you with me? So he was the least likely to be thankful. Here it is. 17. So he comes back. He's now praising God loud, making a scene around Jesus, right? Listen to Jesus' response. So I'm already puzzled because he told him, go show himself to the priest, right? So now he comes back. He's giving God thanks, obviously for his healing. So Jesus says, were there not 10 cleansed? Jesus said, I don't even have to do God stuff. It was just a couple minutes ago. You guys were yelling at me from across the street. And I vividly remember seeing 10 guys. He said, were there not 10? But he says now, he said, I see you come back. Where are the other 9? I want you to get what Jesus at, where he's going. He said, were there not 10 cleansed, 10 healed? Only one comes back, and Jesus inquires about the other 9. Anybody get where I'm going, where Jesus was going? No, all right, let me go back. Let me back into it this way. So the guy comes back, loud voice, falls down there, and he's going at it. Notice, Jesus doesn't give him an award. Jesus, oh my God. You can't, here. You get that. It's a little, it ain't that sweaty this Sunday, but. He doesn't applaud him. He doesn't celebrate. Thank God for you, Brother Samaritan. The Lord has healed. Thank you. He almost ignores what he's doing. I mean, this guy is on his feet. He's got a loud voice. He's praising God. And Jesus says, where are the other? Now, get what he's saying. He said, I healed 10. Listen, so I'm expecting 10 to come back. Why? Why? Somebody tell me why. It's your duty to be thankful. How y'all missed that, I don't know. I set that up. That's what you call an alley-oop. All you had to do was just throw it in there. He expected the 10 to come back. Josh, it was their duty. Why? Because God had healed them. It was not optional. That's why Jesus is asking about the other 9. Weren't there 10? So where are the other 9 who I heal? Here it is. I got it in my notes. I want to give it. The other 9 failed in their duty to be thankful. How many of us are failing in our duty to be thankful? He's done so much for us that our life should be a continual praise unto God. Because every day we wake up, what? We ought to give the Lord a praise, right? And not just any kind of praise, a loud praise, a boisterous praise, a clamorous praise, right? Because God has done for us what nobody else could do. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity, without God on our side, but in due season, God sent his son, and his son gave it. Whatever, do what you want. You don't have to pray them on my account. My whole purpose this Sunday is to remind you, it's your duty to be thankful. God is looking for your praise. I told you last Sunday, woe be unto you if you don't forgive. Woe be unto you if you fail to be thankful. Woe be unto you if you allow God to do more for you than you do for him. And all he requires is that we be thankful. Will you be thankful this Sunday? Will you take your duty seriously? If you got it, say, I got it. Here it is. I'm finishing with, here it is. This, hopefully that got you. If that didn't. Here's the part I like. This is my part. No, in verse 19, this is my part. This is why I enjoy preaching. Right? Cause you ain't got, he gives it to you. It's literally right there. Need, I ain't got to do nothing. I ain't got to work up it in there. Boom. He said, here it is right here. Right? Look at verse 19. Right? Are you with me? And he says to him, the only one guy who returned, Right? Would have said to the other nine, but they failed to be thankful. So there's only one guy down there. He's on his face. So Jesus says, here it is, 19. He says, arise. Right? Go your way. Your faith has made you do y'all see that? We started out with 10 guys across the street. Asking for mercy. I'm going to give it to you. For a physical condition. My real church would take this mic out of my hand. They like, Pastor Goswin, give me that mic. I'm preaching the rest of this thing out. That's it. Am I telling the truth? Verse 11, the Bible said what? They stood afar off, right? And they said, Lord, have mercy on us, right? And the condition that was throughout all of them is that they were what? Lepers. They had a physical disease, right? That could be seen. You could look at them. Oh yeah, he's a leper. I'm going over here, right? Now watch this. This is why I love preaching. They come to Jesus for a physical healing, right? Which they receive because of their obedience. Right? He said, what? Go show yourself. And all 10 left. Right? So they come, but this guy, his obedience not only gained him physical healing, but his faith. Shanita said, she passed the mic. I'll give it to her. She said, I got it, Pastor. I'll pass the mic. But she got it. That's why I preach for that. That's why teachers teach. Teachers teach for one reason. You know what it is? The aha moment. When the kids, I got it. That's the whole reason they get up at 7 to come to work. For when the kids, the light goes off. The eyes brighten up. Why? And it finally starts what? Making sense. I got it now. I can see it now. I understand. Standing just like teachers teach. That's why preachers preach. What? For that same aha moment. But the aha moment is not through intellectual learning. It's through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. The only way you get an aha moment in church is if the Holy Spirit opens your eyes. It's the only way it happens. Me saying it 3 times is not the magic trick. I can say it 100 times. But if he doesn't open your eyes to see, you'll never see it. It'll go in one ear and go out. You'll never see it. You'll be in church 30 years and still go to hell. I'm just telling you the truth. I know it's harsh, but it's the reality of it. That if the Holy Spirit does, that's why I said, he that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith. If he doesn't open your ears by changing it from being a natural ear to a spiritual inner ear, you'll never hear what he says. You know how many people heard Jesus preach and still died in sin? They heard him preach. Matter of fact, if you read John, I remember when I was preaching through John, one of the most damning things that they say of John of Jesus in the Passion Week. He preached one last time, and the Bible says he never preached again. That means what? Game over. They had them for 3 years. They wouldn't listen. For 3 years. Then as you study John, you begin to find out they couldn't listen. To the Pharisees, the religious leaders, when they came to him, even though he spoke to them, he closed their ears. Only a handful could hear. Only a handful could hear. Only Nicodemus could hear. Right? The rest of them, he kept their ears closed. And so while I make fun of it, I really praise God for it. Because God is doing what he's promised to do. Because those that he has called, he will open their ears to hear. Are you with me? All right, that was a sidebar. Let me say, here's 19. You got it. Here it is. This guy, the leper who comes back, Norm, his obedience gains him physical healing. Are you with me? Look what you look at 19. But Jesus says, your obedience is a physical thing. I said, go show yourself. You got to move. You got to start going to where the priest is. Right? Your healing is involved in that. But the spiritual thing that this guy did, he said, Jesus said, your faith has made you well. Right? I said, well, wait a minute. Well, I thought the healing made him well. The healing made him physically well. But his faith, I wish I had a real church. Come on, we finished. Come on, everybody stand up. Let's get out of this. Come on, hurry up. You move faster, you'll get warm quicker. Right? Look at three people and tell them his faith. Right, that was one person. I said, tell three people. Come on, let's get out of here. Tell them your faith has made you well. You were dead in trespasses and sin. You have fallen short of the glory of God. But God gave you and me a measure of faith so that when we heard the word of God, we could respond by faith, the man came back. By faith, he began to praise God. By faith, he fell at his feet. By faith. His obedience got him physical healing. But his faith got him spiritual healing. And might I remind you, this guy was a Samaritan. Jesus said, it's not right for me to give the children's bread to dogs. You study that passage out, he's saying to give it to non-Jews. I'm a Jewish person. And so my word and my ministry are for those who are like me. But the Syrophoenician woman refused to walk away. Insulted. Laughed at. Belittled. That's how she could have took it. What Jesus was really doing was testing her what? Her faith. She stayed in there. She said, even the dogs receive crumbs from the master's table. By faith, Your healing is going to be by obedience to the word of God. You don't need anyone else to pray. You don't need any more oil on your head. What you need is to obey the word of God. That's all you got to do. I just gave you the witness. That's all you got to do. Do what he says. Do your duty. He said, you do that, you'll get the healing. You'll get the blessings you want. That's all you just do your duty. But when you ignite your faith in God, that's when the spiritual world will open to you. That's when you'll move out of the natural realm of life and begin to walk in the spiritual realm. The supernatural realm. The only way you can get in there is by faith. You can't shout your way in there. You can't sing your, not in the spirit realm. If you want to impress people at church, sing. But if you want to impress God, have faith. I told you, he told you last week, all you need is faith. That's what? A grain of a mustard seed. God responds to faith. The question this Sunday morning is, will God respond to you? Will God respond to you? Do you have faith the size of a mustard seed? A little faith. Don't need a lot. That's all it needs to get God's attention. What caught Jesus' attention was not the man's praise, even though it was loud. Was not his respect and honor, even though he bowed at his feet. That didn't do it for Jesus. But when he saw his faith, he opened the spirit realm to him. He said, arise. He said, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. How many of you are willing to enter the spirit realm? The realm where God works. There's nothing between you but your own faith. Do you do your duty to forgive? If you were here last Sunday or watched it on YouTube, you remember one of the things I told you. Forgiveness requires That's the most shocking point of the whole thing. Out of all that jumping and acting crazy I did last, was that it? Most people thought forgiveness, oh, well, you got to want to forgive them, or has nothing to do about you. Watch this. Has nothing to do about them. What they did, what they said, none of it. Forgiveness is God's faith test to you. Do you have the faith to forgive? Do you have the faith to be thankful? Remember point two, saying thank you is not the same as being thankful. You know when somebody's thankful. Why? Because they can't stop. No. I really thank you. You don't know how much. Okay. It's okay. It's good. Yeah. But that was so much. Okay. That's good. I got to get in my car now. But yeah, I just want to tell you again. They can't stop. Why? Because they're in the spirit realm. Their thankfulness, their praise has opened an access into the spirit realm where God is. And a person who's genuinely thankful, they can't turn it off. Next month, they're still sending you stuff and calling you and this and that. I don't need Bible to teach that. You know it. They can't turn it off. They can't stop. Why? They've entered into a spiritual place in God. That's when you're made well. As a church, are we ready to go beyond the physical? Going to church, doing church, giving the church. That's the physical of church. When will we as a church step into the spirit realm and leave the church and enter the body of Christ and begin to do spiritual exploits? In the name of our God. Do you have faith? Or do you simply want to be a healed leper? When God has created you to be so much more. To have so much more. Look what I got in my notes. And I'm finished. I got this in my notes. I'm not even going to give it. I'm not even going to use it. But closing this thing out, we in Luke 17, I went to Luke 30. Luke 38 says this, give and it shall be given. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Look what I put in my notes. Here's my notes. Is it on the big board? Josh, is it on the big board? Go up one, Josh. Go back one. This is why I get into preaching, that statement right there. Y'all see it? Listen, whenever you are thankful, God always gives you more. The guy was simply thankful for being healed. But because he was thankful, God gave him so much. He received eternal life. Are you understanding the story? He came back to say, thank you for healing. I can finally go back to my family. Finally live back in the name. Thank you for opening that door. And because he fulfilled his duty of thankfulness, God blessed him more. And I don't mean a little bit more. The guy gained eternal life. If I was the guy, I would take the eternal life and live as a leper. Okay, I'm a leper. I can't go to Walmart with y'all. But I don't know if y'all going to heaven. I am. Why? Because I got eternal life. That would have been that's a good deal there. But when you are thankful, God always gives you more. We used to sing a song in the old church. You can't beat God given. No matter how hard you try. It's a catchy song, but the theology of it is actually correct. That you can't beat him given. Right? If I give the mic to Neat, she'll tell you. I'd be like, Neat, why can't you beat God given? He always, because when he starts giving back to you, it comes pressed down. It comes good measure. That means full measure. His cup is full when he blesses you. I hate people fill my water gun, just give me a little half. I want the whole glass. Fill up the whole cup. I'm a big guy. I'm thirsty. That's how God wants to bless you. I don't know if you can handle this, and I'll say this, and I quit, and I'm serious this time. I was watching something on television. I don't even know how I got to this, but I got there. And it was of a pregnant woman. I guess she wasn't pregnant. She had given birth. Well, I don't know where she was in the cycle. Get this, though. But get this, though. I'm serious. This is what she was saying. She was saying her breasts were so engorged. Anybody know what that word means? That means on the verge of bursting. She couldn't take it anymore. That she had to either breastfeed or pump or whatever the lady do. Why? To relieve that press. Listen to me. Men, listen to what I'm saying. Your God's breast is engorged. He wants to bless you. He's waiting to bless you. And all he needs is a sign of your faith. And all of that goodness that he has, right? All of that mercy that is, he's ready to release it into your life and cause you to grow. But a mother, to release it, needs a child who's willing to suffer. If not, won't come out. And the baby, I don't even have time for this. The baby sucks by faith. The baby sucks by faith. I think it was Jacob, for the longest, wouldn't do it. We went back to the nurse, a mammogram nurse, or whatever kind of nurse, to show Jermaine, do it this way. Make him warm. Wrap him. Bring him up. Just going all these, trying to trick, but he just wouldn't latch on. Just wouldn't latch on. Until what? He got hungry enough. Finally, by faith, he latched on. And once he latched on, he never what? That's what God is trying to, if you would just latch on by faith, I wouldn't have to preach this hard every Sunday. You just get it. Why? By faith, I'm in the spirit realm. I'm telling you, he's ready to bless you. He's ready to do for you more than you can ever imagine. All I'm trying to tell you is just fulfill your duty. Forgive by faith. Be thankful by faith. Next Sunday I'm going to tell you, witness by faith. And watch God work in your life. If you got it, say, I got it. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Because the word of God has been breathed out by God and is good for us. Help us to become profitable servants. Help us to go beyond the physical, beyond the natural. Father, we ask that by faith you open a door into the spiritual realm. That we may do those things that you have called and destined for us to do before the beginning of time. We love you. We adore you. And we give the name of Jesus the highest praise. All of God's people say amen. 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 Amen again. God bless you, Taylor.
Amen. Amen. If you was thankful for that word, let's just give them a praise. Lord, we thank you for that word. Yes. We will not be like the other nine. We're going to give him thanks. Amen. Amen. So now we're going to transition our service. We're going to move to our time of giving as well as our announcements. Okay. So I'm going to call up, our deaconess Courtney Scott to come and give us the offering and announcements.
Amen. Good morning to the Taylor family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of four ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, or also by U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. To give through Venmo, you can give to at taylor-tabernacle-6309. And for those of us who are gathered in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets to my right next to the side ramp door, one for your tithes and offering and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. If you would like to be a blessing to our pastor, you can give via Cash App or Venmo. Cash App, $ Pastor Jonathan Ford, Venmo at Jonathan-Ford-25. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. Amen? Amen. Now we're going to move on to our announcements. The pastor and the leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Whether in service, I know it's a little cold, but we made it, and via our live stream on Facebook and YouTube Live. So that you may continue to join us through worship, please hit like or subscribe or follow us on Facebook at taylortabernacle.com so that you can remain informed and up to date with all of our upcoming gatherings and dates. April 13th, which is today, I believe, is Palm Sunday. And to my left, there are palms, and you may come and take your palms on this Palm Sunday. It is also the last day to bring candy for our Easter egg hunt. And I believe you may see Sister Kim for any questions about that. We'll also have Wiley choir practice today, I believe. On April 18th is Good Friday. We will have service at 7 p.m. Via our normal Bible study, Google Meets. So we'll be virtual. On April 20th, is Resurrection Sunday. And on that Sunday, we will have our Wiley Easter egg hunt immediately following service in the garden. And teens and adult Easter egg hunt after service in the sanctuary. Okay, I like that. All right. On April 27th is planting day at the tabernacle. Planting day at the tabernacle. So the pastor is inviting everyone to dress down so that we can all work to plant new seeds for our upcoming harvest season. In addition, we'll be firing up the grill for lunch, hamburgers, and hot dogs for everybody. Amen. Every first Sunday, we will gather at 8:30 a.m. for in-person corporate prayer, followed by morning service at 10 a.m. Wednesday nights, our prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. via Google Meet. Sunday school is from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meet. We look forward to seeing your child every second through fifth Sunday. And please remember Pastor's Wiley Challenge. And that will conclude the announcements for today. Amen. All right. Now, come on up, Shanita. We're past it. Amen. All right.
Amen. And since, you know, next week is Easter, just remember to invite somebody out for service. Amen. Your friends, family. Let's fill the church next week, okay? Now we're going to have the benediction by a pastor.
Thank you. Yeah, shall we all stand? Most time I got to ask y'all to stand. Y'all jump right up this Sunday. Y'all like that. Let me just say this quickly. So always grateful for our internet church. Just a note here to the church in loving memory of Pastor John Blaine. Thank you for helping to celebrate the life well lived of Overseer John Blaine Sr. While his journey is over, we encourage you to remain faithful in your walk with the Lord. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. Again, just another one of the old saints going in. Thank God for Pastor Blaine. This also came in the mail. It says, with the warmest thanks, how thankful the heart that is touched by the thoughtfulness of another. Just saying thank you doesn't seem enough. Hope you know how much your thoughtfulness is appreciated. Thank you for your prayers, your presence, and your calls during our time of bereavement. The Curitan and Curry families, right? In love and memory of John Curitan Sr. So, again, thank you as a church for being supportive and encouraging during times of bereavement for those that are of our church family and even those that are not. Because it's, again, it's our duty, right? He says, what? Comfort ye one another. This is your duty. That's, you got a responsibility to do that. So thank you for doing that. Again, we just handed out the flyers to the Wiley staff. I brought my candy, but I left it home. I actually was going to wear a tie, but I left that home today. Getting out late. But I do have my candy, and I will drop it off at the church this week. Hopefully you have brought your candy. If not, you can drop it off this week. I don't know how you're going to get in, but drop it off. Slip it through the door slot. I don't know, some kind of way. But God, thank you. May you enjoy the rest of your Palm Sunday. Consecrate yourself throughout Holy Week. Looking forward to Wednesday night Bible study. Good Friday service. Looking forward to that, both on Google Meets, and then we'll be back out for Easter Sunday. Amen. Let us look to the Lord, to him that is able to present us faultless before the Heavenly Father and the host of holy angels. God, consecrate us. Forgive us of our sins so that we can forgive others of their trespasses against us. Father, forever remind us of our duty to be thankful. To give your name the praise. I believe if we do these things, one day we'll hear you say, well done. Go in peace, Taylor. The Lord be with you.